Up next on Coast to Coast, Dr. Edward Close joins us. He is the co-author of Reality Begins with Consciousness with Dr. Vernon Nepi, whom you've just heard. Dr. Close, of course, is an expert in transcendental physics, and we're going to talk with him about that as well when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Let me tell you about Dr. Edward Close, physicist, mathematician, cosmologist, environmental engineer, planner, and a consultant worldwide. He was a charter member of the USGS Systems Analyst Group, where he developed state-of-the-art mathematical optimization programs and other modeling techniques. And here he is on Coast to Coast as we talk about his work, Reality Begins with Consciousness, that he co-wrote with Vernon Nepi. Dr. Close, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm glad to be with you.
Likewise. You know, I'm in St. Louis. You're in Missouri somewhere, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I'm about 90 miles, well, a little more than that, about 115 miles down I-55 from you.
You went to the University of Missouri as one of your schools, I think, right?
Yes, I did. University of Missouri at Rolla, and also briefly at Columbia.
Well, it's a great university. It really is. And your website, along with Vernon's, brainvoyage.com, and that's where you can get your book. Is that correct?
Yes. Our current book, or new book, Reality Begins with Consciousness, and I'm sure Vernon probably told you we have a couple more in the pipe that will be coming along behind this one.
Edward, what is transcendental consciousness and physics? What is that?
Well, physics, of course, is a study of the interaction of matter and energy in time and space. Simple as that. Transcendental physics actually includes consciousness in that study. So it's matter and energy, time and space, and consciousness. That's the basic difference between physics and transcendental physics.
Here you are. You're a physicist, a mathematician, cosmologist. You are a pure scientist. How did you get interested? How did you get involved in the study of consciousness?
Well, that's a good question. I went through the more or less standard education in mathematics and physics, and was very interested in relativity and quantum physics. And this all was very well, except during my life I'd experienced things that didn't seem to fit within that paradigm. And so I felt that there was something missing, that if there is a reality, then it has to include all the things that are real or that can be experienced by human beings. And so I felt from early on, even when I was in college at Central Methodist College in North Central Missouri, mm-hmm. I felt as a physics math major there that it needed to be expanded to include these other things. And I fortunately had a physics professor and a couple of other professors who were interested enough in to allow me to use some of their equipment and so forth to carry out some experiments. So I was experimenting early on with the interface between mind and matter, if you will.
And what did those experiments teach you or show you?
They showed me without a doubt that there is a reality that includes a whole lot more than our current materialistic paradigm mm-hmm. includes. I just realized that we had limited our science for many years for good reasons. I mean, early on, scientists had to divorce themselves from alchemy and various types of pseudoscience and so forth, and they did that by just closing the door on anything that couldn't be immediately weighed and measured. And that's fine, but at some point, and we're definitely at that point now, that paradigm needs to be expanded to include everything that we experience.
As a physicist, as a scientist, are you a believer now in other dimensions, the multiverses?
Yes, as a matter of fact, a large part of the mathematics that I developed over a number of years that go into Reality Begins with Consciousness and will be explained in more detail in our second book, which is entitled Space, Time, and Consciousness. And I just became more and more convinced that this was the way to go, and really the way that science needs to go. It's kind of been in a dead end because of automatically limiting itself to a materialistic paradigm. So a lot of the mathematics that I developed involves something that I call dimensional extrapolation, and a whole system of mathematical geometry, which for higher dimensions, which I call dimensionometry, that really helps to understand conceptually that, yes, additional dimensions do exist. I found that there's a lot of confusion in the general public about what dimensions are. So I started out by making some definitions, and I can go into those in a little more detail if you want me to.
I'd love, sure. And how many dimensions are we talking about, Edward?
Well, the mathematical approach of dimensional extrapolation that I developed and we used in the in developing the Reality Begins with Consciousness paradigm reveals at least 10 dimensions.
Wow.
And that actually coincides with a lot of the string theory physicists. However, they will talk about dimensions as being either time-like or space-like. And in fact, I show mathematically that there are three dimensions of space, three dimensions of time, and three dimensions of consciousness. Now, a dimension, and this is where people have confused the issue, a dimension, the word dimension or other dimensions is used very vaguely, but if you realize that a dimension is defined by variables of extent, and other variables exist, but they are not dimensions. They are variables of content. For instance, space, time, and consciousness are measured and described in terms of variables of extent. But mass and energy and events and information are described in terms of variables of content. So with that clarification, then, and using the basic mathematics that's been developed over the centuries, we can show that there are possibly many more dimensions, but at the 10th dimension, you actually enter into what we've called transfinite dimension.
And what is that?
And that's... Mathematically, the difference is that space dimensions are described in terms of real numbers and also irrational numbers, but specific types of numbers. And time, and this started with Einstein and Minkowski, and we've just simply carried it further. Time is described in terms of variables of extent, which are duration and so forth, and consciousness is described in terms of extent of thought and thought energy. Now, the mathematics shows that when you get to three dimensions, you can no longer extrapolate into a fourth dimension using real numbers. You have to, only way you can extrapolate mathematically is to use imaginary numbers. Well, actually, that's what Hermann Minkowski did for the Einstein theory of relativity. Einstein called it unnecessary mathematical sophistication when he first was confronted with it. But once he saw that it enabled him to take time as a fourth dimension, he incorporated it into the theory of relativity. And there were other attempts to do this by people, physicists called Kaluza and Klein, who each went into five dimensions and showed that much of wave theory, electromagnetic waves and light waves and sound waves and so forth could be derived from a five-dimensional reality. And Einstein himself was very interested in that. So in a way, this is just extending Einstein's work. Now, after you get through the time dimensions, you get to the same barrier where you can no longer have an additional dimension without falling back into and being able to describe mathematically.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to go from imaginary numbers to complex numbers.
These other dimensions, what do they serve? What's their purpose?
Well, if you will, envision the first three dimensions, and you'll see that one dimension, which is symbolized, or that's not the best word, can be visioned, envisioned as a line.
Yeah.
That's one dimension. Two dimensions is a plane, and three dimensions, of course, is a volume. Now, if you look at that, a line is contained or embedded in a two-dimensional reality, and a two-dimensional reality is embedded in a three-dimensional reality. The three-dimensional reality is embedded in a fourth dimension, which is dimension of time, described in terms of imaginary numbers. And the fifth dimension and sixth dimensions are additional dimensions of time, which can be used to explain phenomena that is little understood at this time. And the same way, when you move through that into complex numbers in consciousness, dimensions of consciousness, you see all of it. The lower dimensions are all embedded within each higher dimension. And when you realize that, you realize that you need all of them to explain human consciousness and its interaction with matter, energy, time, and space.
Are there beings on these other dimensions? Things, creatures, anything like that?
Let me put it this way. I would say in some regards, we all are inhabitants of all of these dimensions. We are on, for instance, in the time dimensions, we are on individual timelines, which are created by the drawing of distinctions, and that's another subject of mathematics of that I've developed called the calculus of distinctions, can be used to demonstrate the logic of that realm. And so we're all inhabitants of all 10, at least, dimensions. However, there are also other forms of consciousness and that inhabit some of the dimensions. We call them in our book, we call them domains, that may or may not impinge upon the 3S, the three space dimensions, and the one point in time that we experience through our physical senses. So I guess that's a long-winded answer to your question, but yes, there are conscious beings or entities of consciousness that exist in different domains of these 10 dimensions.
Do you find, Edward, that your belief system or knowledge of consciousness has helped you to become a better scientist now?
I believe so, because without accepting that, I feel that I would have a closed mind. I was always amazed by my colleagues, many of my colleagues in physics, mathematical physics, who the moment you mentioned anything beyond materialistic concepts, you were not talking science. You were talking philosophy, or you were talking voodoo science or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I was amazed by that because it seemed to me that's a closed-minded approach, and as a scientist, you should be open to all things that you experience or that anyone experiences if you can demonstrate that it is real. And that's the key, and we've been hamstrung in science to demonstrate that things that people experience, like, for instance, seeing a ghost, or experiencing a presence, or having the experience of deja vu, any number of things like that are important in human consciousness that we experience, that we've been hamstrung because we can't really investigate that scientifically. What was needed was a scientific paradigm that is a broad enough framework to include anything that can be demonstrated to be real.
That's a very, very good point indeed. Edward, as you look at all of this, and you've put it together with Vernon, would you make any changes, or would you keep everything intact?
If I understand your question...
To your model.
Our model is a living, evolving thing. we had a struggle. We wanted to get this out as soon as possible because we felt the time was right, and because the two of us were spending many, many long hours, night, sometimes through entire nights, working on these things and discussing them. It started out, we were Skyping 1 hour every week, and that expanded, and of course with emails and everything, I think on the average we exchange emails 3 to 10 times a day,
and almost a full-time job, wasn't it?
Yes. So we both were reaching in one way a point of exhaustion working on this, and we realized that it could go on forever, because as we explore the links between the mathematics of transcendental physics and the parapsychology and the neuroscience that Vernon had developed clinically, that we were coming up with more and more applications.
All right, well, hold on, Edward. We're going to come back with more with you in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Our guest's book, Reality Begins with Consciousness, is available only at their website, brainvoyage.com, brainvoyage.com, which is linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. We'll be back in a moment more with Dr. Edward Close on Coast to Coast AM. We're with Edward Close. Edward, what do your colleagues say about Vernon and your theory?
It's mixed, of course. Many people have spent their entire careers working within a materialistic paradigm and being, I would say, brainwashed by the current scientific community that it's taboo to even talk about some of the things that actually can be explained and studied in more detail through the application of our paradigm. For instance, UFO sightings and things like that. Most of, probably 90% of my colleagues are just, even if they find interest in those things, they can't voice it if they're tied to a university system. They see it as a threat to their career. Now, there are a few, and we've supplied you with some of the comments from scientists across the board. We've had this book peer-reviewed by a large number of professional people, both scientists and philosophers and so forth. And we got many, many encouraging reports back. But so it's mixed. And when I presented a paper in 96 at the Toward a Consciousness, Toward a Science of Consciousness, Tucson 2, it was called, at the University of Arizona in Tucson, called the case, my paper was called The Case for the Non-Quantum Receptor. And that being a fancy way of saying there's something more from the very beginning of creation than matter, energy, time, and space. And out of 300-plus people who attended that conference from all over the world, there was just a handful, maybe 8 or 10 people, scientists and so forth. There were neuroscientists and medical doctors and, you know, anyone with an interest in consciousness studies. And there was just a handful like that that were open to the ideas that I was presenting. And it's still that way, although I think it's growing with the new crop of scientists that are coming on. A lot of them are more open-minded than the older ones.
The work that you've done, will it help you? Can you, as a physicist, explain to us the Big Bang, how it occurred, what blew up?
It's a very interesting. The Big Bang, well, first of all, it's a misnomer. It wasn't big. It was probably, in terms of current sizes, smaller than an atom. And it wasn't a bang because there was nothing there. Sound traveled through air, principally. So there was nothing there to really be a bang. You can kind of say, yeah, there was if you go into electromagnetic radiation and think of it as analogous to sound. But so there wasn't a big bang as such. But you have to accept, if you accept that we live in an expanding universe, which is pretty generally accepted in the scientific community, then you have to have some kind of a rapid expansion origin event. And that origin event, and I did a paper recently, was published in Telecom, which is a journal of the International Society for Philosophical Inquiry, called The Earth is Expanding. And it looked into the idea that if space is expanding like a big bubble, then everything must be expanding. And the interesting thing that came out of it was the only way I could make the calculations work with all the known data was to assume that there was a rapid expansion period, and that was proposed by Dr. Alan Guth, an American physicist, when it was found that the expanding universe theory had some flaws, the biggest one being that some of the galaxies and stars within the universe had to be older than the universe. And so there were several...
That's weird.
there was, and so that was overcome by the idea of a inflationary period at the very beginning, where everything expanded much, much faster than the speed of light. And when I applied my mathematics, calculus of distinctions, and ran the universe like running a movie of the universe backward, I found that that rapid expansion had to occur in order for all the data to fit. So a quote Big Bang really had to happen, but you have to understand it in different terms, because it didn't happen like an explosion in the current universe, because, well, you know, it's some common sense here. Explosions never create anything. And the idea that the universe would be created by a random explosion is, I like one analogy that that I can't claim authorship for, but the idea that we exist in all the complex form that we have now, even the complexity of a small insect like a gnat or an ant, that would come out of an accidental mixture of things from an explosion is less likely than having a tornado go through a junkyard and assemble a Boeing 747 in transit.
That's incredible.
Yeah, yeah. And so it really, really, what's been needed, and you know, we're so happy to be on your program, because we really want to get these ideas out there, and we really appreciate the opportunity to reach your listening audience, because people need to understand that science has only scratched the surface, and it cannot grow and really expand unless it rids itself of the dead end of just to put it bluntly, materialism, or the idea that there is nothing except matter and energy interacting in time and space. That simply doesn't explain the universe in any way or shape or manner. What our paradigm does is stand current science on its head. We show that instead of being an epiphenomenon of material accidents, consciousness had to be there prior to the first particle coming out of the Big Bang.
Well, and many would say that could be God. What do you think, Edward?
Yes, the only problem I have with that is we all have our own definitions, and to the rational mind, God is kind of outside the box and a matter of faith. And this is when I published Transcendental Physics. I thought, wow, the theologians are going to love this. No, they felt like it was a physicist intruding on their territory, and they like to say, no, this is God is a matter of faith. You know, a belief in things unseen and so forth. My response has always been, there's only one reality, and if religion is trying to find it and science is trying to find it, they're trying to find the same thing. So they need to get together on the same page. So is there a God? My answer to that would be there is an intelligence. The universe itself is conscious and intelligent and has an innate order to it that we discover through science. And so that's the best answer I can give. I really, it's interesting, you probably know who Richard Dawkins is.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah, I took his test for, you know, if you scored 10, you were an atheist, and if you scored 1, you were a believer, something like that. I scored like 9 on his test, which would put me in the atheist camp. But I'm not an atheist because I know better by personal experience. And I know better by real experience, not just fantasy or something imagined. So, excuse me, I'm kind of a different breed of cat, I guess, in that, most theologians and true believers sort of shy away from me like I'm invading their space. And most scientists shy away from me because I'm expanding their space into an uncomfortable territory.
Do you see intuition, psychic ability, all tied together with your model?
Absolutely. Psi phenomena have been demonstrated through meta-analysis to be real. And scientists who are denying that are just that. They're in denial because the science is there. It's been demonstrated in some cases far beyond most demonstrations for scientific concepts. And these things all, one of the things that got me interested in this many years ago was my very first physics professor, Dr. Harley Rutledge, did a study on, you may remember this, in the 70s there was a spate of UFO sightings near Piedmont, Missouri.
That's right. Many.
Yeah, many sightings. Dr. Rutledge actually went over to Brushy Mountain, just I think it's northeast of Piedmont, and set up a camp and an observation crew, and he set up triangulated cameras that were all linked on timeline and everything else, and he took a lot of pictures of these things. And when I looked at them, what I saw was what you would see, like if you were looking at a three-dimensional object passing through a two-dimensional space. So what we're looking at with UFOs are multi-dimensional objects that are passing through our three-dimensional or four-dimensional, including time, a domain that we can see with our physical senses. So even then, all this, it all made sense to me that these things were real and that they were a part of a multidimensional universe.
And a lot of people theorize that too, Edward. They believe that these craft could be coming from other multidimensions. You know, I kind of like to think they're coming from planets within our own systems, but who knows? You know, you really don't know, do you?
No, it's entirely possible, and I think that a paradigm shift like the one that we're proposing will give us the framework within which to study these things and understand them and probably come up with some answers about the nature of UFO phenomena and other rare events. Type phenomena that we know are real, but that we have no explanation for in the current paradigm.
Well, miraculous. Now, where does your work go next with Vernon Epi? What do you do next?
We have two books, and we've got an outline. The second book, a lot of this first book, we're co-authors, equal co-authors, but a lot of it is heavily depending on Vernon's clinical research and understanding of parapsychology and things like that, with the overview of the mathematics and dimensionometry that came from transcendental physics. In the second book, it'll be kind of reversed in that we'll still be equal co-authors, but there'll be a lot more detail in the physics and mathematics side of it. And then a third book that's planned that may come out before the second one, I don't know for sure, is planned to be a book for popular consumption for the general public. The two books that we've developed now are really aimed necessarily mostly at science professionals, philosophy professionals,
or those who understand this,
and those who are interested enough to take the time to look at the detail that we've provided that gives the basis for an understanding of extrasensory perception and other rare event phenomena.
Well, it's fascinating. So when you were part of the USGS, what do you think of all the earthquakes we're having now, Edward?
Well, I think there are a number of reasons. There are cycles. Everything is connected. This is one of the places where I diverge a little bit from my geophysicist friends, who will say, "Oh yeah, there was an earthquake in Southern California, and there was one on the Wabash Fault, but they're not related." Well, I don't believe that. I believe everything is related, and the occurrence of more and more phenomena like that is all tied to the evolution of the universe, I believe. And I think we really are approaching a time when consciousness is going to change. I think it is changing. And I think that's very important. And I think a new expanded paradigm like the one we're proposing is frantically almost needed at this point to give people a grounding, a framework within which to understand what's going on.
I think so, too. I think so, too. Well, the book is called Reality Begins with Consciousness, brainvoyage.com. And Edward, these days, do you travel much?
I just came back from Australia. Speaking at a conference there, and I've had about a dozen speaking engagements during the last year. The other one that was out of the country was to Egypt and Jordan in March of 2010.
Well, good for you. I've got a speaking engagement coming up in November in Los Angeles at an Alchemy 1111 event. And I enjoy these speaking events. How about you?
Oh, I very much so. It's a chance to get the ideas out there and get people to thinking about them.
It sure does.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Edward, for being on the program with your insight. We will be back in a moment with phone calls with Dr. Vernon Nepi on Coast to Coast AM.